This is a Stand Up Labs production, powered by digital media.
Yo, in the conversation coming at you, we're talking about the NBA Finals, the Curry 2 sneakers, and I happen to have eaten General Tso's chicken with Captain Crunch. Tune in to find out.
For the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon, crazy East Dominican, you know, Vladimir, come on, yo, my cool man from the county of Dade, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah, we are back. This is In the Conversation. This is Damian Lemon. And as always, on my right hand side, I got
el comandante, el profesor, el alcalde, el ejecutivo. Vladimir Camaño.
Ah, shit. Mm-hmm. On my left-hand side, I got...
You got the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad, up in here.
What's going on, fellas? How we doing?
Oh, we here.
We are in the conversation.
Highlight of my week.
Yeah, we got the triumvirate. Three at the table.
I see Damon no got doubt. The young look. Damon got the young little Chick-fil-A look today.
Yeah, I did that, but, you know, we trying to respect this man's Ramadan look.
Respect my fast.
Because you came in here, he was devouring. You said there was no lines? You walked right up
there?
There was
no line at either Chick-fil-A.
Was that the decision-making factor for you?
It definitely was. We drove past. I said, let me run up in here. It's no line.
No doubt.
I felt like I was getting sneakers at box price.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you feel like you're getting a bargain for some shit that's just regular.
Uh-huh.
Like, all right, here we go.
No doubt.
Go ahead. No, speaking of, you know, I don't fuck with the lines. We talked about that.
Yeah, no doubt.
Somebody just put me on to a new restaurant in New York City. It's called Black Tap. It's downtown. It's on Broome Street. They do burgers and they do these crazy shakes. The lines at minimum be like 2 hours. Upwards to 4 hours.
I catch them when they fall off.
I see. You know what I mean? after the health department violation or something. I think that's what happened with Chick-fil-A. I think that health code violation kind of slowed them lines down. And Ramadan. You know what I mean? A lot of cats is abstaining. So, but yeah, man, 2 to 4 hours thirst. Then I walked past. Speaking of lines, I went to the I've seen a few lines. There's an ice cream spot in Lower East Side called Morgenstein's, I believe. They did like a pop-up with some flavors that were, like, I guess, reflective of Kanye. It's like Kanye West limited edition flavors. When I tell you the line...
Authorized or unauthorized?
I think it was authorized. I think they even did like some like Pablo merchandise like the Morgenstein's thing. Dog, when I tell you the line was down the block and around the corner just for some ice cream. The thirst is ridiculous out here. It's very embarrassing.
I don't think no food, to me, I'm trying to think, is worth me waiting for 2.5 hours.
Yeah, in a line. That's before you even place your order.
You don't even know what it tastes like. You got to get the testimonial.
Yeah, I don't think it's worth it.
Right. Can't you, what's the other shit? What's the little delivery service shit?
Postmates?
Postmates that bitch.
Or TaskRabbit. That's the hustle. A lot of people, like, they pay cats to stand online for them. And then they just, pay them like $100 or $20, whatever. And people stand online. Man. And then, you know, that's a surplus. It's ridiculous.
Man, ain't nobody with it, man.
Anyway, so that's what's up, man. I'm sipping on a Chick-fil-A lemonade.
Now, would you do a Chick-fil-A commercial? Bite into a Chick-fil-A sandwich?
I don't know, but I mean.
Damian Lemon for Chick-fil-A.
This chicken is delicious. It depends. One, we biting into a sandwich. It's not biting into a full-on drumstick. So there's no stigma. My thing is, again, like, I've seen a few people. I be forgetting these people's name, but shout out to my homeboy that hit me. Who it's been a few people doing the knowledge on the chicken.
Okay,
on the chicken stigma. You know, one person says it dates way back to when blacks were free to go work, and men were, they would come to work with fried chicken, mm-hmm. you know, and drumsticks. One, because the drumstick is handy, it's easy to eat. And then the fried chicken, I didn't know this, and I'm not sure if this is true or not, but when you fry the chicken, supposedly it may even last longer.
Right, right.
So that's why it was fried, as opposed to baked or whatever you want to call it, grill.
Right.
So it still doesn't say where the stigma's attached. It's just saying black people and chicken, they go way back.
Yeah, we go back, and you know.
But it wasn't like there was a chicken before black freedom. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure they was eating chicken on the plantation. I'm sure the white guys were having chicken. You know what I mean? Yeah. Benefiting from that free labor. And, you know, there's no stigma attached to that. That's not a, like a lazy white guy cuisine.
Yeah, it, you know, it wasn't to, you know, jump all the way back in. I just was asking since you here with the Chick-fil-A.
It depends on what it's talking about.
I just love Damien's like counter offer. Damien, we're going to give you this amount for the chicken commercial. Damien goes, only way I'll do it is if it's in a sandwich.
We got to sit down. I got to look at the creative.
I got to look at the treatment.
I got to look at the creative.
Who's directing?
Yeah, I got to look at the creative. Exactly. What if it's the blackest chicken commercial ever? Spike Lee's directing. Ava DuVernay is AD on there. I got Public Enemy scoring the chicken commercial.
And it's going to be you and Denzel.
It's me and Denzel. You know what I mean?
Shout at the Apollo Theater.
Shout at the Apollo Theater.
Who cooking the chicken though?
Oh, man. some white corporation.
What's that spot? I had it in Brooklyn. They make chicken and waffles. Pinky? Is it Pink?
Oh, Pink Teacup.
Pink Teacup.
Oh, Pink Teacup.
Yeah. That was a famous...
They used to be downtown in the Village. Yeah.
Village joint. They moved to Brooklyn later in life.
Yeah, they got pretty good chicken.
That was Russell Simmons' spot, wasn't it? When I first got here, they used to say he used to be in there.
Whoopi Goldberg did a whole thing. I saw that.
Yeah. She did that, and she ate some chicken wings.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that now that we're talking about it. But that was more like of a Q&A.
Yeah.
And she got into that chicken. But Whoopi's been one of them people she's been on the front lines on black causes. You know, the Ted Danson shit had her looking crazy. She's been out there, you know, defending Mel Gibson and shit like that. I still fuck with Whoopi, but she is not for the groupthink. She gonna do what Whoopi wanna do.
No doubt.
She's married, right?
I don't know. I don't think so.
A lot going on this week, man.
Yeah, man. What's been good? What you been up to?
A lot going on this week, man. I was watching, you know, I'm a huge Kevin Hart fan.
Uh-huh.
Kevin dropped. Well, I don't know if it dropped. I need clarity, but, you know, he has his sneaker coming out.
Yes.
And he has his album coming out, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think the dude is a beast, man. Off the stage.
Okay.
I think he's a mastermind at what he's doing.
He's the new Les Brown.
And yeah, he's the new Les Brown, man. He really is. He is the new Les Brown.
He got you.
And I'm tempted. We were talking about earlier about the Steph Curry shoe, and I'm tempted to buy a pair of Hustle Hearts.
Just to support the movement?
Support Kev, yeah.
But the Hustle Hearts not ugly.
Nah, that's a good
point. They're not, you know, stylish.
They're not ugly, though. They're not ugly.
Yeah, they ain't,
you know,
they
for
ain't
your terrible. Fashion. But, you know, to exercise in and run in and, you know what I'm saying, general kick around, they not bad.
It's a cool shoe.
That Curry too, though.
Yeah, he got mocked.
That's another story.
I mean, the memes were just insane on that sneaker, man.
They were killing them. They were killing. I've seen quite a few. Shout out to my man Kazim. I think he's the one that kicked it off.
Oh wow,
Real Life Kaz on Twitter. I think he was the first one to kind of get it in motion. And had a bunch of people, you know, going in on the Curry shoe. I was at I did an event today, AOL Build. Shout out to everybody that came out to AOL Build. It was cool. It was like a Q&A, live Q&A in front of some people. But when you walk in, they got paparazzi. People taking photos, and there's TMZs out there. TMZ's like, yo, David, I want to talk to you. I was like, well, I'll talk to you on the way out because I don't really like fucking with you. TMZ seemed like the forum for you to say the wrong shit and then get it be set up for failure. So I was like, I'll see you on the way out. Well, I was really kind of just playing him off because I didn't think he was going to still be there. That motherfucker was right there. And he asked me what I thought about the Steph Curry 2s, the Steph Curry 2 lows. And I'm going to just say this, full disclosure, not all the way, full disclosure, I've kind of restrained a bit from the slander because I got a good friend of mine that is going to be working at Under Armour, And I know that they have a bit of an uphill battle as far as maybe my demo or lifestyle demo for it to be a fly sneaker.
Right.
So I try not to throw no slander on it because I actually know this cat. This is a good friend of mine. So I'm like,
he's a good man.
But it wouldn't hurt.
However,
it wouldn't hurt that man's position.
That's what Ali said. He said, listen, man, when a sneaker is terrible.
It's terrible.
It's all bets off.
And that makes it better for him because he has full awareness of, you know, we came out with something that was terrible and I got my job cut out for me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Going forward.
Okay.
We gonna rectify that.
Yeah.
I think they already making moves to rectify that. They dropped the pictures for the Curry 2.5.
Damn, made them rush him.
They did the Jay-Z blueprint too.
Mm-hmm.
And when that shit wasn't hitting on shit, they
break it down
Then did the 2.5.
Hilarious.
That's what they did. They dropped the picture for the 2.5, but that didn't stop the slander.
Well, we've all seen the shoe.
No doubt.
Is the shoe that horrible. And the guy asked me
on picture sight. You know what I'm saying? It might be you might have a different feel when you see it in real life, or a different texture. Maybe the technology in it is something dope. But that shit is ugly on the picture.
It's definitely not a fly shoe. It don't look like nothing that you. You could see yourself, ooh, I know I'm going to play these.
It don't even look like you balling in them, because one scuff, they're even worse than they started.
Nah, I think a scuff would do them right. I think it's too, you know, a little integrity. Sometimes when the shoe is too white.
That shit is way white. You're going to get one of them burn marks across the top. That shit is going to look crazy.
Oh, well, if you get that across the top of a Jordan 4, it looks crazy.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, you those are set up just strictly to play ball, right?
Okay.
You're going to go play ball in them.
Uh-huh.
They are ultimately going to get scarred.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And that shit's just going to look even worse.
Hmm.
It's like an old-ass New Balance after you done warm down. If at least New Balance got a little character to them.
Yeah.
Before, it don't look like those going to get character with all that, you know what I'm saying?
What up?
With all that, you know, plastic-looking material.
Yeah.
My question is, though, before the sneakers even released, isn't there like a focus group? That happens. Don't they review the shoe?
Yeah, but you know, come on. You know, let me say this. There is a long list of dope basketball players that have some horrible looking
shoes.
Like who?
Kobe had an ugly shoe.
Dwayne Wade has terrible shoes. Fucking, what's my man's name for Brooklyn? Steph Marbury. Terrible.
Yeah, but to his point, those were affordable.
But they were affordable.
They were ugly.
Yeah, but you could say
Shaq's
like,
was ugly.
The Twisms.
Not the Reeboks.
I mean, I might be, you know what I'm saying, even on the edge and might catch some slander.
Talk
you know
talk.
What I'm saying? But, you know, I usually do say something slanderous sometimes. But I didn't like the damn Iversons.
Which ones?
None of them.
Even the first one?
None of
the
them.
Blue?
None of them shits.
The
none
cap
of
toes
not,
was
not,
all right.
Not goddamn none of them.
The cap toes was all right. But what sold the Iversons, one, was
him.
The crossover. But then he also had the fucking, the commercial with Just Blaze and Jada Kiss. Just Blaze did the beat with the bouncer ball, and then Jada Kiss did a mean freestyle.
And then Iverson
was AI.
Yeah, no doubt.
They're not
no
a bad looking shoe though.
That wasn't no style shoe. That wasn't nothing you was gonna, yeah, I'm out here.
Honestly, it's not many dope basketball sneakers that go in style. Like, okay, Jordan, Barkley, Duncan.
I don't know who he is.
Duncan always had like the ill. He was
pennies.
Like the phone posit.
Pennies.
KDs. I'm nervous on the KDs.
Them first KDs was hot.
What's the first KDs look like? I got to look
the
at them.
The low top with the strap across them.
And LeBron go back and forth.
LeBron
sometimes.
Go back and forth, but you know, that's yeah, they do.
We seduced by that Nike check.
No doubt.
We got to be honest, because I seen a photo where they photoshopped a Nike check onto that Steph Curry shoe. It looked like a regular inline Nike. There's plenty of terrible looking Nikes out there.
I'm sure.
I think that Under Armour logo needs help too.
Needs a lot of help.
It's very unfamiliar to us.
To a shoe.
Well, to us too,
right?
Because we grew up with Under Armour. These young kids, Under Armour is what they know now.
But I think we talked about it before when they came with the compression shirts and shit with the football. The logo was hitting. It was a little like a mean logo, you know what I'm saying? But on a shoe, that shit just didn't play well.
Because it's so performance related. Like, you got a compression shirt on, look like you about to do something. Yeah, you ain't just going to the club.
And it's you know, on football, it looked like, okay, it looked intimidating when you had the sleeves on and a little half mock neck with the X on the shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of cats that was balling had that shit on.
Right.
You know
I'll say this though, man. Lately, what I've been doing is I bought a pair of Vans. And I'm happy with them, man.
You sound like you're tapping out the way you said
I bought a pair of Vans. I was in LA and I put a little outfit together with my boy out there. And I bought a pair of Vans and I was like, yo,
you got a stylist? Who's your boy out there?
It's a friend of mine. No, he's a boyfriend of mine. His name is
he's a boyfriend of you.
No, he's not a boyfriend of mine. Okay. Jackass.
That's what sounded like you said.
This is our rumor start. You know Vlad.
I mean, it's maybe picking
this
out
outfits. It's our rumor start. I had my homegirl. We went out to DSW. And we were just walking the aisles, dude. And there's some non-Nike, non like non that are ill shoes. Like there's a company called Creative Rec. You ever heard of them?
Yeah, I'm not into them. You know Creative Rec.
You know Creative Rec. For the most part, I'm not too crazy about all the shoes, but they got a few things that you're like, all right.
You can definitely go off the reservation. Yeah, like, you know, you take risk. Yeah. But you know, you gotta
What's
know your
risk,
style.
What's
you
the
gotta
risk,
know
though?
Your style. What are those?
Exactly. Right. That's the risk. Right. See, that's the freedom that people have in other neighborhoods.
You got that sneaker reluctance.
Nah, that ain't
you
other neighborhoods.
Yeah.
What are those?
No.
What are those transcends?
I've seen some sneakers and I go, damn, I would like to rock those, but I can't wear those in my
your, But
in
you have to know your style.
Because you care.
You have to know your style.
That's what it is. You
I'm
care.
I'm talking about me growing up, like in high school. Like, right. I would really like to wear those. Like, I had a pair of Lugs and they lit me up, man.
I mean, I was off the reservation a lot as a high schooler now, you know what I'm saying? But I am cognizant that the risk exists. So, you know what I'm saying? You take your risk and you know, okay, I'm taking this risk because this is my style. I fucks with this.
What's the furthest off the reservation you went? What sneaker
was
it?
As a youth?
As a youth.
It wasn't even a sneaker. I went off the reservation. I'm in Miami. One, with the Slick Rick Timberlands, the burgundy joints. They was...
Slick Rick?
Slick Rick
had his own Timberland?
Not his own Timberland, but he wore them in the
I was about to Slick Rick. I'm trying to look.
He wore them in the Children's Stories video.
The maroon leather joints.
Yeah.
The leather joints.
Yeah.
Oh, that was official.
Yeah, but in Miami, that was off the reservation.
Because those were Tim's.
Those were high heel sneakers. Those were high heel shoes in Miami. That's what they were called. Oh, you got them high heels.
Slick burgundy construction.
They weren't constructions. They was like the moccasin joints.
I'd have to check them out.
Yeah, go pull up the Slick Rick Children's Story. And then he rocking them on there.
Okay.
But I had those. But even further than that, when Rockport, when I was first, I had a pair of Rockports when I didn't know that how long they've been around. What?
Rockports.
Yeah, I had a pair of Rockports. And they were off the reservation. But the way I felt like I put them together, you know what I'm saying? I put them together in a way that was still, it was rocking. You know what I'm saying? So, for me, I was good. I still got play and everything, you know what I'm saying? You know, like, hey. But when you with your homies, when you first break them out, it's like, what the fuck you doing?
You gotta come through with confidence.
Yeah, you got to.
You
got to
play
them. That's where you know when you off the reservation, you got to know that's your style.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. That I'm about to kill them in this particular way, and I'm going to put it together with this and this.
Right.
Because other than that, you just off the reservation.
The funniest thing to me is my pops, man, because what'll happen is my father takes my hand-me-downs. So my father'll be in the neighborhood with a little James Brown t-shirt, some work jeans, and some like old Jordan 6s on.
He ain't got no old Jordan 6s on.
Like I got a pair of OJs that were just, I had them for a long time.
Okay.
And they just got a little dilapidated.
Okay.
And he'll grab them and put them on to work. So, but he don't know these Jordans. He's just wearing them. But cats in the building be like, oh, Soup, you got on some...
Right.
You got some J's on now to fix the building? And he's like, Keg, what happened? What are you saying?
Yeah. That's when you older with responsibilities.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, when you older, my brother-in-law, he used to, you know, he used to be stylist. I've seen it happen to my family members. Like, when they used to be, but then they get, like, shit like a mortgage and things of that nature, kids. Yeah. And then it's like, that is the furthest from their concerns. My brother-in-law will wear sneakers until they fall apart. Till they fall off his feet. Right. You know what I mean? And it is what it is.
Because your kids need shoes. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You got kids. I got two boys. They need shoes. You know what I'm saying? So the way I would have spent on my shoes, they shoes cost the same as mine.
Your kids are your new shoes.
Exactly. And they want the real shit. They don't want what are those.
You don't want your kids looking like what are those.
You know what I'm saying?
That's terrible parenting.
So, you know,
happened to your kid?
What I try to do, I try to buy some nice pieces that's going to last, and I just wear them, you know what I'm saying? Like, I bought these OG ones right here probably about 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And, you know what I'm saying, I just keep them clean, and you know what I'm saying, and try not to wear them out.
What always amazes me is when you see, like, a homeless dude with a fresh pair of J's on.
Yeah.
And you kind of look at him and go,
man, that fucks up his yield for the day.
Yeah.
I seen a homeless.
Why?
I'm
not giving him money. He's got a fresh pair of J's on. Like, why would I?
What if he got them at the shelter or at the, you know?
He need to have a performance shoe on when he's
he
performing.
Need to put on
being
that
homeless.
Curry too.
Yeah,
I put was, on that Curry too.
It was this one cat.
He need to have a Curry too.
He need to have something that looks like he's in need. You can't have better shoes than the
you
got to
wear a
needy shoe. From
get some flip flops on.
I remember there was this one cat, this homeless dude who used to get on at 145th. I remember that's why that was my old stop. and he would get on, take his shoes off. They was terrible looking shoes, but he'd take his shoes off and throw them shits behind like a staircase and then get on the train and be like, I got no shoes, I need, you know what I mean? And it worked. It worked. He put them homeless feet out there like, listen, I need to get back in the game. People pouring in. Once I saw that shit, I was like, nah, B. You ain't catching me. I know where your shoes are, motherfucker.
But you just go steal his shoes and shit.
Yeah, man.
But speaking of Curry, though, man, that finals game, huh?
What about that finals game?
You were saying it's a conspiracy, dude? You were saying something's up?
I mean, we might have to reintroduce the speculation report. My thing is, Draymond Green, now you just showed me some footage that I hadn't seen before, but Draymond Green was suspended for game five?
Yeah.
For game five. Couldn't even be in the arena or whatever. Mm-hmm. For a dubious foul on LeBron. Ooh. And until I saw that footage, mm-hmm. it felt dubious at best. I saw more footage of LeBron stepping over this dude. Mm-hmm. And now let's be real, because LeBron is of the Cleveland Cavaliers, whose head coach is Tyronn Lue,
uh-huh.
who had the most vicious, most disrespectful step over all the time.
No doubt.
So now you nervous. Don't try to Tyronn Lue me, Pop.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So when he kind of defended himself from nuts on his neck,
right?
From what I saw initially,
uh-huh.
he was suspended to no longer play. He's a huge factor in the game. And I'm like, all right, now I'm starting to read into a lot of people been saying this for long in barbershops for years, that the finals and the playoffs, they rigged a bit because they need to go at least 6 or 7 games.
Sell
to
them
really
ads. I got some ads.
Money.
Well, okay. First of all, with the point system, Draymond Green only had one more flagrant foul to give.
See, I didn't even
know
that.
Before his suspension. The whole playoffs, the commentators been talking about that shit. Like, hey, Draymond needs to cool down. He needs to really check himself because he only has such and such more technicals and one more flagrant foul.
I didn't know that. First of all, I didn't know that the fouls are rollover fouls. I didn't know you
in the playoffs.
Which is crazy.
So, no, you accumulate a certain amount of technicals and flagrant fouls before you're suspended.
Is that a new rule?
Nah.
Has that always been like since the 80s and all of that?
No, 80, they introduced the flagrant 1 and 2 at some point. It was okay. It used to be just a flagrant. If you got a flagrant foul, you were ejected from the game.
Immediately.
Then they introduced the flagrant 1 and flagrant 2.
All right.
Where, you know, flagrant 2, you're ejected. Flagrant 1, you just, you know what I'm saying, you get into this point system.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? So Draymond Green only had one more flagrant foul to give, and he still only has 2 technical fouls to give before he's suspended again. Uh-huh. And everybody knows that. The commentator's been talking about it. The commentator's been talking about it the whole playoffs since he kicked my man in the nuts twice
in the
OKC team.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so LeBron definitely knows. LeBron knows all the stats.
Uh-huh.
That's what he does.
So he
provoked them, but that's what he's supposed to do. If you got 4 fouls in the game, you got 1 foul to give before you foul out, what they going to do? They going to run up your chest.
Let me ask you. This is you Draymond.
Uh-huh.
You just got stepped over in front of millions.
Uh-huh.
And then DeMar about to put his nuts on the back of your neck.
Draymond can't control it. That's why they tried him.
Would you have been Draymonded, or you been a Draymond situation,
listen,
or would you
listen.
Have some self restraint? It was like, no, I know I'm down in tech fouls. Listen,
that's what the NBA is, dog. Everybody got to have some self restraint.
Hold on. But as a man, I think the male ego gets in the way.
Exactly.
When there's nuts, let's be clear about this.
Stepping over you.
When there's nuts involved,
he didn't have to put his head to the nuts. He just got stepped over.
But as the male ego gets inflamed, that's the male ego is allergic to
everybody thinking of the step. Tyronn Lue right there.
No doubt.
He like, I know what that feel like.
No doubt.
I've been there before.
Now, so if you go for it, you like, fuck it, I ain't letting this happen.
Right.
You can't be mad that you sitting out because you already knew you only had one more flavor. You know the game.
All right.
You know the game. If a cat come talk about your wife and say she tastes like Honey Nut Cheerios,
mm-hmm.
and you swing on them, you know you about to get ejected. Mm. So either you're going to play the game or you're going to fight. And
I'd be upset.
And Draymond, he been slick with it. He real slick.
Because
even if you look at that particular punch in the nuts,
right.
you don't catch it on every angle. But the angle that I don't see on TV,
the Bleacher Report.
On Bleacher Report, they show an angle where you could clearly see that he looked up and swung at the man nuts.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? So Now, the same commentators that's been saying Draymond needs to watch himself, Draymond needs to calm down before he gets a tech or a flagrant, you know what I'm saying, is the same ones that come back and say, this is ridiculous that he was suspended. Mm. Like, come on, man. You've been talking about it. That's the only reason I knew about it.
See, I didn't know about
that. The commentator's been talking about it. That's the only reason I knew he had one more flagrant.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, it's the spin. It's, you know, you got to let that conversation live, though.
I think so, the last time the NBA Finals ended in four games was probably like 03, 04.
Who was that?
I think it was the Nets.
The Nets got swept?
Yeah.
By what, the Lakers?
I'm trying to remember. I think it was 03, 04. But I've heard that thought before, that there's conspiracy to sell ads, so they don't let it.
I mean, it might not have been conspiracy, but I mean, it's common knowledge. The longer we can milk this, the more money we can make.
Right.
So it's kind of like, and it felt like it was like an 11th hour decision. You know what I mean? Like a very, it was like.
There's always a review. It's always a review process before they suspend somebody or fine somebody or all that shit. Yeah. When he kicked the dude in the nuts, they reviewed it the same way. And then they let that shit play on.
It's the same thing.
You know he's a Cleveland fan.
Well, I am. But in the OKC department, I was like, he clearly kicked the dude in the nuts on purpose.
See, I didn't even see that. I seen
twice.
Same guy?
Same guy.
Wow. That's interesting.
So what if that guy had punched him in his mouth? Then he would have had to go home.
Probably.
What's the female equivalent? Like for a dude, it's a sign of dominance if I put my nuts in your face. What's the female equivalent?
But only in basketball is we really putting your nuts in somebody's face. Like, where other opportunity do you have to put your nuts on somebody's face?
Dude, that Foot Locker trying on the sneaker.
What?
Ah, nuts
put
in your mouth.
Nuts all in his face. Come on, man. It's like, there's no other place where nuts are in the equation.
I'm trying to think of other situations.
Unsolicited nuts
to the forehead.
Yeah,
and shit.
That's crazy.
Because women play basketball. WNBA, if a girl, it's not really a thing if a girl puts.
I mean, any aggressive move to step over you or, you know, get in your face or, you know what I'm saying, dunk on you, all that is
but I
disrespectful.
Thought, initially, I thought it wasn't. For that, I thought it was because he called him a bitch.
No, it was for the flagrant foul that he got suspended.
Okay.
That and it wasn't because of that particular flagrant foul. It was all of them put together.
Right.
The points.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it is what it is. He knew what it was.
Mm.
He know, and when he come back again, he can't have a flagrant foul.
Okay. Well, we're gonna see what he do.
You know what I'm saying? So if they try him again, he either gonna have to have restraint.
Mm-hmm.
Or he'd be sitting for game seven if they have one.
I think Obama should teach him restraint classes to a lot of these athletes.
But trust me, with Draymond, that's his job, though.
Hold back, young man.
Hold back.
That's what in that game, the other cat was sitting on the bench like, no, don't get the tea. Don't get the tea. Because everybody know.
Yeah. I see. Go ahead.
Nah, go ahead.
Now, I see these nuts. What you trying to say? He looked like Welvin?
No, Draymond. I'm saying that Draymond is always going for the nuts.
Okay.
This is his third nut altercation in 2016 playoffs.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Twice on the dude in OKC and then once on LeBron.
He's got a bit of an obsession.
He got a bit of an obsession with them nuts.
Oh, shit. He don't have a nut allergy.
Draymond and the D is for D's nuts.
Oh, shit.
Is the next game in Cleveland or is it in
Cleveland. Okay. Cleveland. Go back to Cleveland.
Is it the next two games or it goes Cleveland and comes
Cleveland
back?
Cleveland come back.
Okay.
If they have a game seven, it's in Oracle.
Do you think it changed the game? Do you think is anybody series back again, or you feel like Golden State is going to wrap it up?
I think Golden State is going to wrap it up, but I will say this, though. Kyrie played amazing the last game.
I heard they both had 40. LeBron
had 41. First time ever, the two.
In the finals.
So if they keep that level of play up, I think they could win it if they both deliver like that.
We'll see.
Yeah, we're going to see, man. It's game by game. Like I said on the last show, I just expect to be entertained. You know what I'm saying? These are professional ball players, and I am watching it. So I expect to see some good shit happen.
Uh-huh.
And last night was good shit.
Hey guys, this is Chris, one of the producers here at Stand Up New York Labs. And I'm telling you to go check out our Instagram page, at Stand Up NY Labs. We're having a great time taking pictures of all the comics that come into the studio, recording podcasts, all the stuff that goes on behind the scenes. You're missing out if you're not following us. You can see pictures of Jared Fried, Mark Norman, Joe List, Kurt Metzger. Who doesn't need more pictures of Kurt Metzger in their life? Go check out our Instagram page, at Stand Up NY Labs. You're going to love it.
What else is going on?
I was at a, I did a show a couple night last night, and I walked off stage, man.
Why, you was in your feelings?
I was pissed off, man.
What you mad about, son?
I was pissed off.
Tell them why you're mad, son.
I was pissed off. So I'm working on a set for late night right now, right? Like a 5-minute set.
Uh-huh.
And I've been trying to get this set down. And I get on stage and I go, people, I'm working on this 5-minute set. Your undivided attention is required.
Now, you know, you set yourself up for failure.
No.
Let's hear the whole parade. What time was the set? Where was the club?
I was at the Stand.
What was the crowd looking like?
Crowd was looking just like a little drunk. Like a little. They were looking very like... It's like three comics went on before me, and they were like a little rowdy.
So it's difficult audience.
Which I don't mind, but when I'm trying to get my tape together, I mind.
Right.
Because I'm trying to get this tape out.
Right.
So I get on stage, and I say my announcement. They were rowdy. I said, listen, you know, I'm trying to work these 5 minutes out. Right. Appreciate the better attention.
Fuck your 5 minutes, man.
So I start my thing, and they start just, I say like, you know, my father's Dominican. And they just, rawr!
Right.
And I go, I just said, you know, I said, I need your undivided attention.
Man, and they were drunk like, people.
Drunk people. And they were like, it's fine, man. You can totally do this. You got this.
Talking drunk, condescending asshole. So,
drunk therapist.
You got it.
I said, dude, I'm not a 5-year-old. It's not a talent show. I don't need your assistance in this. I said, I know what I'm doing. This is what I do. Hold on for a second.
No, I got you.
I said, had it been a regular set, I would have addressed it and kept moving.
Mm-hmm.
I literally took the mic and I was like, you are undeserving of this shit. And I walked off.
All right.
But you said
I walked off. I was like, you are undeserving.
How'd that feel? Did it feel? It felt great.
Yeah. It felt great because the thing with audiences like that is like they're going for their night.
Mm-hmm.
This is my night. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have a good time for me.
Mm-hmm.
They don't realize that this is my profession. This is what I do.
Mm-hmm.
So now I got to subjugate myself to your night. I said to myself, no, you don't get to do that to me.
You the light-skinned Draymond.
Goddamn right, I'm going for the nuts.
You going for the nuts. You
first time I did that. I said, you are undeserving, and I'm out. Like, no, you can do it. I was like, it's not a question if I can do this. The question is you're being a dick right now.
Were you feeling a little type of way before you hit that stage? Was there any other shit on your heart before you hit that stage? Or was it solely the crowd giving you some drunken response?
It was like...
Were you a little tight going up on that stage?
No, I was excited to run my 5. I was excited. I was like, I think I got it. I know I got it.
You was in good spirits.
Yeah.
But why did you feel the need to announce to them that this was your 5 and this was important and you need their undivided attention?
Because what will happen is, what I've noticed is that if you let them in on the moment, like this, I'm working on this,
mm-hmm.
and you guys are involved in this moment for me, they jump in on that. Like, oh, we're contributing to someone's moment.
Mm-hmm.
And the past, I've seen that works for me. I'll say, hey, listen, I'm working on this. And they'll give me the attention that I need, and they'll give me the energy that I need.
Mm.
So then they jump on that. But this time, it didn't work like that.
Right. Well, you're on that stage, man. You open to...
And on a regular night, listen, I did a weekend. I was in Rochester. I did a weekend out there. Mm-hmm. It was a heck of a night. I shut it down.
Mm-hmm.
Get moving. I'm not going to stop the show. At that point, I'm being hired for the weekend. I can't do that at that kind of venue.
Mm. Right.
But it's like with comedy sometimes, like the audiences think that because they paid a ticket or whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
that they have carte blanche on how they can act. It's like, you don't.
Well, you know, everybody don't come in with the best manners, you know what I'm saying? If somebody came in drunk and they, you know, having a great time at a comedy show and then they may find a chink in your armor to fuck with, you know what I'm saying? They might just do it.
So it was that one joke. You said my father's Dominican. They were like, yeah. He was like, listen, I just told y'all that this means something to me. And they were like, you can do it. And he was like, fuck it.
Yes.
That was rough.
Can I ask how you would have responded to that? Say you weren't preparing for a late night set. Do you play with them a little bit and you work through it? Or you were just upset?
I would have worked through it. I would have been like, you know, because at that point, you know, because I deliberately went to that night to work on the 5. That was the agenda.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't being paid. I wasn't like, you know, I wasn't hired to do what I do that night. So, but it felt good for one night because, you know, I deal with that shit so much sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
For one night, it's like, no. You're wrong.
Took back the night.
Yeah, you're wrong.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have stepped over me, man in the
Bingo.
Audience.
Take your nuts off my face.
I'm not Tyronn Lue. Yeah.
Well, that's what's up.
So, I mean, where do you go from here?
I'm a runner again tonight.
Okay.
You know?
And God forbid these motherfuckers be drunk and disruptive.
Oh, they're not. They're not tonight. Not tonight.
How you know?
How you know?
Not tonight. Because
you got a crowd report?
No, it's just this. It's a different. This particular show, it's like a free show, so they draw like, you know, particular.
Frantic.
It was on Frantic actually.
Oh, that's a free show too.
Yeah, it's a free show.
Okay, all right. Well, that's interesting. You didn't want to just keep doing the five just to see what if the material would have stabilized them?
No, they didn't deserve it. I was so pissed. I was so angry at that audience. Like, you don't deserve it.
You don't deserve this.
You don't deserve it.
I can dig it.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, as a non-comedian.
And yeah. The worst thing is when they see you afterwards. I left. I bounced to go see the game. But the worst thing is when they apologize to you afterwards. Listen, I was only trying to help the show out.
Right.
I don't need your help.
But you
I
did.
Don't
you
need
told
your help.
You needed their help.
No, I didn't.
You said, I need your undivided attention.
I need, because I'm working on these five, so pay attention to the five.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying? I came here just to laugh and joke. Right. Like, you know what I'm saying?
No yelling. I got this. Just have a good time. Don't yell in between my punchlines. Don't add any commentary. Don't say stuff. Don't have any conversation. Enjoy the show.
You wasn't tight at no point.
Tyrant.
Because you went from 0 to 60 within one joke.
In one line. Not even a joke. In one line.
My father's Dominican. Hey, it's Dominicans. They might have been hype.
I don't know who it was, but it was maybe a few white guys. There was one drunk dude in the front talking.
Listen, I told y'all I'm running this thing. We got you. You could do it. Fuck it.
I'm out.
Shout out to Dante Nero in the building.
Dante's in the house, man.
Dante, have you walked off stage before?
Yeah. Let me get on.
I was at the old Boston Comedy Club, and Chappelle came on, and he did like 30, like he came on to hang out, and there was a couple, guy and a girl, who just were just Chappelle fanatics.
Right.
And they were just like, you know how you, like, it's supportive. Heckless.
Right.
I do your thing.
Yeah.
And Chappelle was actually, he went from doing a set to actually hosting.
Uh-huh.
So he was hosting, and then he goes, so this dude is talking, and I was like closing the show.
Right.
And Chappelle left,
uh-huh.
Brought me up,
uh-huh.
And I went on stage, and the dude was like, yeah, I was like, he was doing that, conversation through the whole.
You could do it.
I was like, I go, you going to shut the fuck up.
Uh-huh.
I go, I've been watching you. I go, I know you've been sucking Chappelle's dick for the whole set.
Okay.
Everybody hates you.
Uh-huh.
I understand. I got six, seven minutes I need to do. That's what I need you to shut the fuck up. You know what? And I just started ripping. The crowd was like so pissed with them because they were just so like ready for just anything come out. And I just ripped on them. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, ain't look, there's nothing I'm going to say is funnier than.
So you left on top.
Yeah.
You did an exit. It wasn't like. I can't fuck with this crowd.
Yeah, I gotta leave.
You was like, okay, I just killed off a crowd work. I'm probably not gonna be able to get a bigger pop than this.
Good
night.
Yeah, I'm out. Right.
Well, I mean, as a general non comedian audience member and shit, you forget that this is a fucking job for y'all.
Right. You just think,
okay, it's a funny motherfucker just rolling up on stage and telling some jokes, goddamn. Right. Like, make me laugh. Come on, let's get it.
I'm trying
to find the equivalent for you, like on set. Like someone.
I mean, anything, you know. Any motherfucker that got something to say on set is a fucking nuisance and it's not gonna work. But again, and when you come to be entertained, you forget that it's work. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you know, when you on a set, you controlling the set from the jump. Like, hey. Everybody in their positions, everybody quiet, let's get it. You know what I'm saying? But like I said, you know, you drinking and you in the audience, you know, you forget. Like listening to this, like, you know what I'm saying, I got 5 minutes to work out, or you know what I'm saying, I got these 6 minutes I need to do. Hearing that is not what has ever been in my mind when I walked into a comedy show.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's only knowing y'all that, you know what I'm saying, I've got that type of information that a comedian will go somewhere and work 30 minutes or work his next bit.
Right. You know, it feels like you got to, like, now it's even new instructions.
Right.
You've been an audience all this night. It's like, ho, listen, now I need you to be even more of an audience tonight. I know you motherfuckers been drinking. Y'all didn't pay shit. See, I probably don't have much regard for this show. But what I need y'all to do right now is act as if you pay $40 for this shit and you watch this on television. I need you to behave, even though this entire show, y'all ain't been behaving. I need y'all to behave for this one moment. No, the host didn't check nobody, whoever, whatever. It wasn't checked. How long, how deep into the lineup were you?
I was, I think, fourth.
That's kind of early in the night, but still, somebody should have checked that from the door. But, you know, I guess sometimes you got to step off.
Yeah, you know, sometimes you got to do what you got to do, man. That's your experience. You're going to get this 5 minutes together, and when you really play it on late night, you're going to have that story to tell.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's going to be part of the narrative. Like, I had to check a motherfucker and walk off the stage to get to this. And I killed. And that's what took me to here and there. And then I blew up from that.
Go ahead. No, we about to see.
I just got so angry. I just fucking.
I could see.
Lost my mind.
After that, angry right now.
I was so angry.
He mad at me for even
trying to play devil's advocate. I got mad.
Shut the fuck up.
I snapped. I said, you don't get to enjoy me.
You do not get to enjoy me. What? Vlad is on some taking the streets back shit right now.
Yeah, we
so
just
like
said
he's
that.
Saying, I'm saying in his life.
Right. No.
So what you that thing you keep saying, you know how you keep
palpable.
Saying, you was that was 0 to 60.
You came with something on your heart.
Vlad, I'm not gonna get into it, but Vlad is in some I'm taking the streets back shit right now.
Yeah. Vlad got an agenda. You motherfuckers is gonna respect me.
You gonna respect me.
I'm a good guy.
With a K.
I'm a good guy.
Put some respect on my name. How you say respect?
I'm a good man.
How you say respect in Spanish?
Oh, man.
How do you say respect in Spanish? How you say respect?
In Spanish.
How you say it? How you say respect?
Come on, man.
Repeto.
Huh?
Repeto.
Repeto.
On my nombre.
On my nombre.
Motherfucker. Motherfucker.
Hombre.
My dad is Dominican. You know what? I'm not even about this shit. All right? Fuck this shit. All right? Good night. I told you, motherfuckers. I needed your solidarity.
I was so uptight.
But I like you.
You good, man. You doing your thing. Do your thing. You know what, B? I don't need you to tell me to do my thing.
You know what I'm saying? I was trying to do my thing.
I was so upset, man.
This is an honor, you so motherfuckers. Upset.
It was because I was dealing with a couple of things at the same time. Maybe it was that.
Maybe.
Gotta drag it.
All right. What's
and
shit?
Then it was a perfect storm. And I said, you know what? You don't deserve me. And
you
I was so
it.
Pissed.
That shit didn't. That sounded like that wasn't even directed at the audience. That was directed at some other motherfucker.
You don't deserve this.
Motherfucker. I'm a good man.
I was so pissed, man.
Anyway, man.
But then I got off and I was like, you know what? I'm allowed that.
Right.
I'm allowed
not,
that.
Not too many times.
Don't be that guy.
Well, I'm not gonna do a Cat Williams.
Don't be that. Don't be that prickly ass comic that is easily
ruffled.
Yeah, and you get off the stage. And, you know, is
that
no,
but I'm allowed that. I'm allowed that.
Yeah,
you
know,
man.
Yeah,
once. You know what I'm saying? I'm but you want to be able to persevere.
You don't want that reputation.
You know that's not me.
Vlad, wild sensitive. Son.
You listen, I'm a, wild listen, I'm
that's,
a,
the, that's then, how the host bring you up. All right, this next could be his wild sensitive.
And then it's gonna be one motherfucker come to your show just to fuck with you, like LeBron did with Draymond.
You're gonna become the Larry David of this shit. Remember, Larry David was known for this nigga created Seinfeld and Kirby Enthusiasm. I've never heard an interview where they don't say, and Larry David used to just storm off the stage. That shit will follow you. So you know, be you.
Well, if it'll get you a Seinfeld and a Curb Your Enthusiasm,
then maybe you on the right path.
I just wanted to share that happened last night. And
Vladimir, take no shorts, come on, yo, to the mic. This motherfucker don't take no shorts, so y'all niggas.
She don't come in here fucking with him.
And people were surprised because I get off stage and people on the side me, but they were, was everything all right?
Yeah.
No.
And
I said
to them, I said.
What you say?
What did I say to Joe? Joe was like, I'm concerned about you.
Damn.
You ought to be.
And I said,
put me on your prayer list.
He said, I'm concerned about you. And Paul, one of the owners, was like, what, you okay, Vlad? I've never seen you so activated.
That man man had to dig down into his vocabulary. Activated. That's a specific ass term. No, Vlad was activated.
So upset, activated. Man.
I was so good, man.
I was so upset, man. I was so livid.
Ah, shit.
It is what it is. I was so upset, man. I tapped into something else. I mean, I was pissed off.
Yeah.
And I said on stage, one of those things where like you laugh at it afterwards. I was like, I don't care if you don't laugh. I'm out.
Well, hey, man, what's done is done.
Yeah, what's done is done, man.
What's done is done.
I got activated.
Got activated.
Get back up. You know what I'm saying?
All right, well, shit. Speaking of...
Activated like Jerry.
Making a splash on stage. So, Bozema St. John.
Oh, yeah, the Apple conference joint.
We know Bozema for years.
Yeah, no doubt. She was at Pepsi for a while, you know, at Spike DDB.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then she went over to Beats.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right before the purchase by Apple.
Right.
And so she went with Beats to Apple
uh-huh.
and became the head of consumer marketing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? With a high concentration on the Apple Music stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
So she did the commercial with Mary J that Ava DuVernay produced.
Okay.
So she's a big proponent of black girl magic and, you know what I'm saying, unicorn this and all that good shit that's happening right now. You know what I'm saying?
And uh-huh. she gave a presentation and she played Rapper's Delight.
Right. Well, first, before we even get to the presentation.
Well, she came on as a black woman.
First of all, she came on as a black person.
As a black person.
You ever seen a black person that worked at Apple that came on the stage?
Not on the stage. I didn't even think other people got on the stage. I thought that was just my man in his turtleneck.
It was the Worldwide Developers Conference.
So,
and I think, I could be wrong, I think she may be the first black person. Outside of gender.
I wouldn't be surprised.
That's what I'm saying.
To step on that stage.
Right.
Yeah.
And she just came with it.
Pizzazzed up. Had a little swag, like a little.
Yeah.
But see, first of all, when you know Bozema, she's going to give you straight up black girl. It's not like pulled together, corporate, you know what I'm saying, tight. It's uncut. It's a big natural.
It's pure premium.
Yeah.
Pure, you know what I'm saying?
It's uncut.
It's a bodysuit. It's a tight dress. It's a cleavage.
African street festival.
You know what I'm saying? It's black, real dark.
You know what I mean?
Hair was natural.
You know beads.
About 6 feet tall.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
She had an unk on?
Think she might have had an unk on. A few things that you have to explain to white people.
So she came on the Apple stage as a black person.
Effervescent.
You know what I'm saying?
Activated.
Not corporate black. Nah. It's black. You know what I'm saying?
This is black.
And first of all, that just sends a hell of a message. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying?
I ain't afraid of you, motherfuckers.
I ain't afraid.
Bernie Mac?
You could do it, all that shit. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. With all this going on with kids getting suspended from school for having a part or, you know what I'm saying, getting sent home because your hair is natural and you don't fit the dress code because it's not professional, this shit shatters that shit. You know what I'm saying? It's one of the biggest corporations in America.
Unapologetically black.
Unapologetically black. And Apple, come on, man! It don't get no better and blacker than that for the week.
You gotta celebrate that when there's still moments like that where it's like, wow, this was a black moment for this situation. Like this is a black moment that has just invaded or just
And then the song choice.
Okay, this Rapper's Delight.
It's like that's a groundbreaking hip hop song. Like, it's like
okay.
So for her to play that at that moment in that stage. It was like,
well, she had to play some shit like
Mob Deep,
you know what I mean? Shook Ones or some Public Enemy shit. I feel like Sugar Hill Gang is one of the most palatable
white rap songs of all time.
They sing that shit in The Wedding Singer. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
yeah,
white people
yeah,
should
I
know
just,
the words.
Yeah. I mean, it could have been that too, or it could have been the other. I don't know.
This wasn't Jay Electronica.
She was more hip hop than that song.
Yeah. Yeah. That song was
I just picture Samsung and like Android going, who do we have on staff?
Yeah. All the tech. See, that's another thing. It just sends the message. Like, because when she did it, the internet, you know what I'm saying,
went crazy.
Nuts. So, and all of the tech blogs covered the shit, you know what I'm saying, in a positive manner. So it kind of sends the message that, hey, we might need one of them black girl unicorns up in our spot.
And the feedback from multiple writers
was get weird when it starts sounding
fetish. She is on another level.
It's the same thing as when Puffy was the young dude at –
at Uptown. Okay. And he was whatever, 19 years old, and became the VP.
Right.
All of the other music companies felt like they needed that young voice within. Mm-hmm. Like, we are beneficiaries of that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It would, like, we wouldn't be able to roll into a company as some just young black dudes, get the corporate card on the first day and just travel around, because after Puff, all of the companies felt like they needed that young black voice within their companies. You know what I'm saying? To kind of speak to what was going on.
Okay.
And I feel like this is kind of, it feels the kind of the same is where when you look at it, it's like that start of, okay, maybe we do need some more diverse voices within these Silicon Valley companies. And maybe it don't happen like that, but that sends a strong message that, you know what I'm saying, it's, it might not be bad.
No, I don't think it's bad at all. It just gets a little...
I still think this... Oh, so go ahead, TV.
It feels a little fetishy. Like, when I was looking at some of these tweets, we want more, but like, it just felt like they just discovering black women in 2016. Well, like, god damn, there's black women all across the fucking world.
But obviously, they wasn't fucking with them.
Yeah, so,
but there was a moment of like surprise, like, oh my god.
That's what I'm saying. And all she did was just be black and do her job. I could see if she spit a 32 bars that broke down a new operating system in a way on, you know what I mean? But the white fascination with just a black girl being black on stage doing what she's paid to do.
I was expecting Phil Schiller.
But
it was a little much.
But I don't think it was the white voice that started that conversation.
With the tech voice?
I don't think it was the tech voice that started that conversation. I think the black people on Twitter celebrated it first.
Okay.
And then it became a conversation.
Okay.
Then it became a Twitter moment.
So it got vetted first.
I'm saying? It got vetted first.
Like, wait a minute. The blacks seem to identify. Black,
yeah. What's going on?
It was a mix.
We must have hit up on something here. We
could tweet some praiseworthy dispatches.
It was a mix of me because...
I didn't even see it.
It was a very great moment, but I still think the Spotify platform is better. That's why it was a mix of me.
Come on.
You know what I mean? I appreciate the fact you did a fantastic job.
Hilarious.
But I was going on like... Spotify platform's still a little better than what you got going on here. Because the Apple Music platform is so confusing to me. Like, it's not intuitive. It's the one non-intuitive app they have. And right now I sound like a geek on
talking to.
But I thought that's what the relaunch was all
about.
Dude,
they finally added a thing, and I'm happy she talked about it. They added a section that says downloaded songs, which Apple Music was missing prior to this. You didn't know what song was downloaded. You didn't know what song you could play offline. It was all in the cloud. Now you got, but now you have to go to a section. To tell you what songs are downloaded. Spotify is just go to library.
I mean, right now on mine, I don't know nothing about none of it. Really,
I don't use none of these.
I'm on the Apple Music, but if I want to play a song that I've already played offline, I know where to go to make that happen.
Where do you go?
It don't say nothing. It's just I hit this little side with the little dots, and then it pull up all the music that I played. I scroll down to the song that I want, and I press it into play, even if I'm offline.
With Spotify, just hit your library, and it's...
Ain't nobody care nothing about no Spotify.
And it's
sorted. You want to rain on Bozeman Parade?
No, I'm saying it was a great piece. The presentation was great.
That wasn't even part of the conversation.
But I was watching it going, she's doing a great job at promoting this product, but I was like, I still prefer the Spotify. You know me, I'm Applehead.
That's you.
I'm an Applehead, dude.
Apple is...
I love Apple, but the Spotify to me is just still a little... easier to use.
Apple got lazy. I told y'all Apple fell off ever since Jobs died. I told you that Tim Cook ain't done nothing that dope. Sorry. What else is going on? What you got? Shout out to Bozma though. Holding it down.
Shout out to
holding
her,
it down.
Fuck Tim Cook though.
I might not fuck with your boss. I fuck with the Knicks. I don't like the Dolans. It is what it is. You know what I mean? But I fuck with you, Bozma, dead ass. We go back. You know what I mean? I'm glad you were shining. But again, you know, Tim Cook is anyway.
He's regular.
He ain't fucking with Steve.
You ain't hit him with a regular in a minute.
Nah, not in a minute. You got anything else you want to talk about?
What was I going to talk about, man?
We're going to come back to you because I think you got some deliberation you might want to talk about.
What deliberation?
Oh, you got some deliberation. We'll talk about it in a second. But that's called a tease.
But
I want to talk about this. Speaking of Twitter, the Twitterverse, and people going crazy over shit. So Louis C.K. was in he had an interview with Vulture, right? And I started seeing this little blurb pop up all over my timeline. Louis C.K. is genius. He's captured it all. It's amazing. This is such a poignant, he has spoken. He said it succinctly. This is exactly why we need him. So Louis C.K. is talking about politics, and he says, American politics are pretty simple. It's like, imagine in an airplane. You have two wings on the airplane, the left wing and the right wing. So that's the Democrats, a.k.a. liberals, on the left wing, and the Republicans on the right, guys like Donald Trump. They're over there. But then there's the tiny wings on the back of the plane. Those are, they're millennials. They're smaller and don't do as much work, but they're still important. Otherwise, they wouldn't be on the plane. Then you got the cockpit, which is basically like a trans bathroom, and the wheels are guns. You only need them sometimes, but they should stay hidden. And the sky is Bernie, and the engines are black people.
I'm confused.
That was weird. What did you think?
Well, the couple things is that one is that whenever Louis says something, everyone already, you know, oh, this is
it's amazing.
This is
he's
a
in
gem.
That moment.
This is a gem.
Well, let me full disclosure. I fuck with Louis C.K.
So do I.
This is no slander against Louis C.K. No, so but I fuck with him.
Even now, even we can't speak freely about him without qualifying. Hold on, wait a minute.
Nah, I fuck with Louis, and I'll tell you why. One thing that I do like about Louis is beyond the fact that he's a funny comedian, I like the fact that he takes chances, right? And then when you ask him about his process, he is so meticulous about, there's nothing that he does just because. You know what I mean? There's always a reason. There's always kind of some depth to it. The reason I made that choice was because I did this and I thought that. So it's always some thought. It is almost just as compelling to hear his thought process behind what he did, right? But so I fuck with him. He typically says some, you know, profound shit or like thought-provoking type shit. This was interesting.
Now, what was that in context to?
I guess they asked. This is a Vulture. This is on Vulture piece. We're gonna put it up on the thing. But this is how I got it. Like it was on my Twitter timeline. Just this isolated, like a screenshot. This was isolated with accolades upon accolades. He got it. Louis done it again. Da 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 da.
He's done it again.
He's done it.
Hemingway, eat your heart.
Damn, Daniel. You know what I mean? But it's like, all right, let's talk about it. What
why,
you think?
Why do black people just the engine? Ain't we Republicans and Democrats too?
I don't know. That's the question. Is that supposed to be, are we like,
we
are
the we slaves the, that's we, building this shit that's are just we still, dragging the plane along?
Are we moving this
I don't
country?
Know, I don't know.
I think what he was trying to say was that, I got caught up in semantics as well. I think he just said black people, but I think the metaphor could have been expanded more.
People of color?
People of color, poor people, you know, any
black
number of
things. Black people poor?
Well, I think what he's trying to say is that the working class is running the ship. That's what he was, that's what I thought he was trying to say.
That's what you thought he was trying to say. Working. What he said was black people.
And you're right, Ali. That's like, that needs clarity. What do you mean?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. What do you mean?
I think sometimes when people don't really like all the way understand what's being said, they're like, that shit is brilliant. That's genius.
It's beyond
me. Like, well, why is it genius? Well, listen, if you don't understand, you read it again.
Read it again. It's over your head.
That's brilliant.
I'm just, like I say.
What's that word for airline from the song in Paris?
Oh, yeah, it gets them going. It's
what is it?
It's provocative.
It's provocative. Yeah. It gets them going.
Yeah, yeah. If you got the Republicans over here, Trump on the wing, you got Democrats over here, I guess Obama on the wing.
Mm-hmm.
And the cockpit is a trans bathroom.
Which is, that's just anybody being topical.
Could, anybody
I guess
could
anybody
drive
could
it,
be in there. It goes either way.
And okay. Bernie is the sky.
Why got to be a trans? What is it, unisex?
But what did it say? What did it say?
Bernie is the sky, which is weird to
like,
me.
What the fuck is that?
What does that mean? Wide open opportunity? Like, is it like freedom? Is it? I don't know what that presents.
Louis was smoking that shit.
He might have been smoking some mean shit. Because then I was like trying to get my own shit together. Because I'm like, do we need fucking analogies now out here in these streets? Because I'm like, well, Bernie... I think Bernie, if you watch the slam dunk contest, I think Bernie is like the seventh attempt at a slam dunk contest. Like, you want to see him do that shit, you want to see him pull it off, but the momentum's not there. You know what I mean? Like, you get maybe one or two shots at it, then it like, everybody's like, all right, who's next? Bernie is like on his eighth time, fucking about to pass the ball to the mascot so he can throw the shit, he can attempt this crazy ass dunk, and niggas is tired. At the most, you're going to get a seven.
That's a wild-ass visual, old-ass Bernie.
Bernie looked like he used to play ball, though.
Used to.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about Bernie now on his eighth attempt. Trying to
I could see
do the 360.
If Louis could call plain edges black people, I think I could call fucking Bernie.
You could call Bernie whatever you want, man. I'm just getting clarity.
But let me ask you. The question to me is like, had someone else made that comment? a non Louis person.
Oh yeah, you would have.
They would have been what is this gibberish you speak of? What is this nonsense?
Who couldn't have? Lamar Odom couldn't have made that statement.
Oh shit,
he is
in the crack.
All right, so listen, the Republicans are. It's like the Republicans are
like
right.
It's like this right here.
It's like
player.
This right here. Look what happened.
It's like a plane.
Right, it's right here, player. Mm-hmm. Like a plane.
So it's like the wings and shit.
You are already hot.
And the black people. On the black, or the engine.
They the engine.
Drops the mic on there.
Uh-huh. Do with that what you will.
I think, you know what I'm saying? I think people just, I don't know. Who said it was brilliant?
It was a bunch of motherfuckers. I'm gonna find it on the Twitters.
You have to understand, there's a and I love Louis, I'm a fan, but there's a narrative around him where if you question what he's doing, you need to check yourself.
That sound about like you.
Ooh.
No, what I'm saying is, I respect the dude. Mm-hmm. And he's gotten to a place where you kind of got to go, well, let me give it a beat. Mm-hmm. It is Louis.
Right.
Let me see what he has to say.
He's got a track record.
He's allowed a beat. He's entitled to a beat.
Okay.
Yeah.
He tied it to get beat, too.
Louis C.K. Plain. And I mean, that Louis C.K. Plain quote is pretty dumb. That's what old at Daniel Brim said. Now motherfuckers is shitting on it. Now it's a blowback. 24 hours ago, it was on his dick. Now people are like, wait a minute. After I didn't thought, gave it some thought, people are like, Louis C.K.'s political plane metaphor has to be one of the dumbest things I've ever read. Yo, this internet will turn on your ass.
Turn around.
I don't understand a goddamn thing about Louis C.K.'s election / plane analysis.
You reading this live right
and
now?
And I don't care to find out. Yeah, this is Aaron Epp. But I'm trying to find the people that was filleting the shit. They were like, man.
They are buried.
Louis C.K. draws a perfect comparison between our current candidates running the country and flying a plane. Louis C.K.'s plane analogy is for the presidential race is the best thing I've read all day.
Not a serious reader, obviously.
Well, Jill, yeah, I mean, Jill Philpovic says, yes, this Louis C.K. comment about Clinton, Trump, and Sanders is pretty much right on.
Well,
that's what she said.
I like this other plane bit, the old school, you know, when you're in the sky. And the one he did on, we'll put it on the flight. I mean, put it on the Facebook fan page. But, yeah, it's one of those things. No, he had another bit where he was talking about being in the plane and how people could be impatient.
He's a plane guy.
We all planes all the time. You know, airplane material is big in the comedy community.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's one of them things they say. It's like one of the stereotypes or whatever. But
because you know we travel so much.
Yeah. What about that airline food? Yeah, it's one of those it's one of those things. Anyway, long story short, man, you got to. Let us know if you understood what he was saying. Let us know how woke you are. You know what I mean? That's for the truly enlightened. For the woke. Speaking of enlightenment, speaking of mile high.
Oh, so I'm going to Denver. I'm doing the Denver Improv this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Getting high.
And a friend of mine said to me, you know, weed is legal out there.
Recreational.
Recreational. And he said, you going to try some? And I said, I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so. A part of me does, but a part of me is going, it's not
Have
my
you
thing.
Ever smoked weed before?
Huh?
Have you ever smoked weed before?
Let's come again?
Have you ever smoked a reefer?
Is the audio okay in here? I can't.
Mm-hmm. That's a yes. Continue on.
Okay.
I dabbled in
the marijuana as well.
I got paranoid.
Okay.
Right.
I had a bowl of General Tso's chicken with Captain Crunch.
You had a bowl of who?
At a bowl
at
of
the general, same time?
At the same time.
A bowl of what?
General Tso's chicken with Captain Crunch.
Oh, in wow. The same bowl?
The same bowl.
Oh, you with got
milk?
Super high.
With milk.
Were you just smoking weed?
It was just that. And
how was that shit?
I was at Wesleyan.
No, how was the Captain Crunch?
At the moment, it was delicious.
That is a weird situation, but go ahead.
It was delicious. And
you fuck around, you get high, you might try that shit. Like,
he might have started some new shit.
Without the milk, that sounds probably fine.
Look at that.
Chris, that's a little crunch.
But go ahead.
So, but the main comment I've been getting is, the long story short is, I'm 99.9% sure I'm not going to do it. Mm-hmm. This is not, it's not my thing.
Right.
But the main thing is like, everyone is saying to me, make sure you have supervision.
What's that?
You know what supervision is. People around you. Yeah. Supervise. You know what supervision
is. Oh, supervision. I thought you meant supervision, like a strain of weed. Make sure you had that supervision.
Nigga, the sky look like birds, you get that
supervision.
Man.
You get that supervision. Look at that shit. No, not I didn't even hear it as supervision.
We all high technical. We all fucked up.
I thought
right
it,
now,
it was two separate words. Make sure you get that supervision.
If you look closely, nigga, the engine.
That sound like some good ass weed.
The engine look like Robert Guillaume.
Get that. The engine look like black people.
Look at that shit.
There's black people in the engine.
I will say this. That edible look is way more intense.
Yeah.
Way more intense.
Don't
than,
get caught
especially
out
if you haven't smoked in a long time. The thing about that edible thing is you don't know how long you're going to be high. Like the thing about when you smoke a joint or smoke some weed, you'd be high maybe 2-3 hours. You know what I mean? Maybe at the most 4 hours. That's a hell of a high. But edible, that shit could last you like 6-7 the whole day, depending
even
on how much.
If you have a small portion.
But see, that's
can't
the thing.
Judge
you don't know the portion
you
until
it.
You've kind of
already consumed. No,
my question is, they say this is a cookie, right?
Right.
And you go, okay, I'm only going to have a fourth.
Well, this is the thing.
Might fuck you all the way up.
It could fuck you up because you don't know what your tolerance is. Two, well, in Denver, you'll be a little better than if you got it off the street. Because in Denver, since it's recreational, right, there's people there, bud tenders or whatever, that could kind of give you a little bit of guidance. They could say, yo, this is how many milligrams of THC's in this, especially if you do recreational, because recreational stuff is not as strong, like edibles wise. Like they cap it at a certain thing. Like somebody snuck you like a medical like fucking cookie, mm-hmm. and you took a quarter of that, it'll be far different than if you took a quarter from a recreational cookie, right? And then your ass is gonna be high, well past when you're gonna be like, you know what, I'm kind of done being high, mm-hmm. and you still gotta fucking, you gotta wait that high out, and that's where you could start to tweak. And I know you don't like to really be out of control. I'm one of these people, I don't really like to be out of control.
I hate it.
It's one of those things that it'll have you unnerved. Right. And if you really one of these people, there's certain people that think they're dying. You know what I mean?
I've been there.
You know what I mean?
I've been
yeah,
there.
So.
See, and then the thing about the edibles is, you know what I'm saying? I ain't never been to no point of no tweaking or none shit like
yeah.
that. But I ain't no, you know what I'm saying, connoisseur. But, you know what I'm saying? First time I ever had one, you know, you thinking, all right, I'm gonna have a little bit.
Right.
And then you take a little bit, but then you start getting a little high.
Right.
And then you forget. Like, shit, let me get you some more of this shit.
Right.
Next thing you know, you ate the whole shit.
You could do that, too.
You know what I'm saying? And then you off to the races. But like I said, I ain't never get to a point of tweaking or no shit. But you think you only going to get a little, but then after you get a little, then you might take a little more.
The rule of thumb is always to take half of whatever the dosage is. At least less than half or whatever, and then wait at least an hour before you partake in that shit again, because sometimes, one, you forgot you took it, and then you might think it's some bullshit. You might think, oh, I ain't get high.
Because it ain't hit you yet all the way.
That shit's coming, Pop. That shit is on its way. Trust and believe. That shit is coming.
You don't think I'm going to do it? Plus, I'm working out there. I don't want to.
Yeah, and the altitude is a little much.
You don't want to lose your breath.
Lose your oxygen.
Yeah, it's a whole thing, man. Yeah.
I'm very sensitive, man.
You might want to stay away from it, man.
I'm very sensitive. I don't know if I could pull it off. But no, so that's been the conversation. Everybody's like, oh, you sure you're going to Denver, huh?
Yeah. Everybody want to know.
Nah, man.
Everybody want to know. You should, well, it's not really your wave. I was going to say, you should at least go see, like, do one of them big ass dispensary tours where they show you all the plants in the back and they show you how they make the shit. But if that ain't, you know, that ain't your twist, and it don't really, you know what I mean? That's like, you know.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know what I'm saying?
We'll see. I'll give you a call.
We gonna see.
Yeah,
Don't call me after you done ate the shit. Yo. Hey, man, shit, I'm a shad.
Shit's fucked up right now.
I see black people on the engines, man.
Burn is the sky.
Oh, shit, man. All right, well, I think we about to transform and roll out. I think it's about that time. Any last thoughts?
I will be at the Denver Improv for Father's Day weekend.
Oh, shit.
Thursday to Sunday. Please come out. And then, yeah, that's me this weekend.
Yo, it's definitely Father's Day. Black Fathers Unite. You know what I'm saying? We're going to be doing that. But then on Monday, we're having the 306 Late launch party.
Oh, shit.
You know what I'm saying? At Lover's Rock in Bed-Stuy.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I think we kicking it off like 7:30.
So it's an open invite to the listeners?
Yes, open invite to the listeners. Come through. Lover's Rock. Shit. It's right there on Tompkins and whatever. Right. On the Googles. Check the Googles.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So just 306 late launch. You know what I'm saying? Thorough TV is in the building.
Ooh, ooh. Coo-coo. Anything else?
That's it for this week. You know, like.
Shit. I'm going to be at Stand Up New York this Friday on the 10 o'clock show. Also at Stand Up New York Sunday on the 10 o'clock show. And I will be I'll be at Frantic. The show in question this Monday on that show is free, so y'all can check that out. And
messing with drunks.
Yeah. And shit. As always, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even the enemy.
To get in the conversation. We out.
The main thing of it all is to be in the conversation.
This has been a Stand Up Labs production, powered by Digital Media. Subscribe to new and archive episodes wherever you listen to podcasts.